From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Going Out with Joy. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 18. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. The blessings of the tribes are ours, for we are the true Israel who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Zebulun is to rejoice because Jehovah will bless his going out. We also see a promise for ourselves lying latent in this benediction. When we go out, we will look out for occasions of joy. We go out to travel, and the providence of God is our convoy. We go out to emigrate, and the Lord is with us both on land and sea. We go out as missionaries, and Jesus saith, Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. We may go out day by day to our labor, and we may do so with pleasure, for God will be with us from morn till eve. A fear sometimes creeps over us when starting, for we know not what we may meet with. But this blessing may serve us right well as a word of good cheer. As we pack up for moving, let us put this verse into our traveling trunk. Let us drop it into our hearts and keep it there. Yea, let us lay it on our tongue to make us sing. Let us weigh anchor with a song, or jump into the carriage with a psalm. Let us belong to the rejoicing tribe, and in our every movement praise the Lord with joyful hearts.
Oh,
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle reveal something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. Having been saved from his sins by the power of Christ, the apostle felt that he had a debt to bring the good news of salvation to as many people as possible. Although much of Romans is devoted to deep theological truth, Paul believed that theology cannot and should not be separated from the gospel. Indeed, theology without heart is destructive of the Christian faith. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, It takes evangelistic unction to make orthodoxy function. As we'll see, Paul's burden for missionary work grew out of his own experience of the power of the gospel. Now, to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Why is it so important for these people to understand that for years he had been purposing to go to the city of Rome to preach the gospel? Well, put the statement in its context, and I think you'll see that there is a great theological revelation. I want you to follow it, because I think that very often the best of commentators miss this. I've read what other people say in the passage, and it is amazing how they jump about, because it is quite obvious that in most cases they miss the thread that joins it all together. How Paul is arriving at this great statement. Why is this in here? It's not incongruous. It is a theological revelation. And if I could sum it up, Paul is saying to these people, why is it important that you understand that I have been consumed with a purpose to visit Rome? Well, here it is. If I believe the gospel, then that gospel demands that I do everything in my power to make it known to people of every nation and of every class, including those in Rome. If I believe what I have been saying, if I believe the gospel, then I must preach the gospel. I must be on the stretch to get that gospel out. Now let's stop there. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to get this. So let's stop and not make the mistake of just rushing over what he says, I want you to get. When he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, he's saying, pay particular attention. Get it into your head. Let it sink down into your ears, to use the words of Christ. Let it get a grip of your heart and your will. Now notice the soul-stirring declarations of the apostle. He says, I have for a long time desired and purposed to preach the gospel in Rome. Over in chapter 15, verse 23, he says, I have had a great desire these many years to come unto you. This was not something of a day outing for the apostle. This was not a little vacation from his work. This was Paul looking to go to the hardest sphere of service that he could enter into. However, he says, I have so far been hindered. As he says in 15:22, much hindered from coming unto you. But I press on, preaching where I'm able, to whomsoever I can. And I do so because I feel an obligation. I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians. I feel an obligation to carry the gospel to all men. And for that reason, I am eagerly desirous. I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome and gather fruit there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's think of these things, because in them Paul gives us a wonderful example of the obligation that Christians have to make the gospel known in all the world. I want you to understand the wording. The obligation of Christians to make the gospel known in all the world. Can we notice first and foremost, and this is the very heart of everything else, the foundation for everything else, Paul's burden for missionary work grew directly out of his experience of the power and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's emphasize that, because believe me, that is what is missing in the so-called call of most pastors to the ministry. That is what is missing in the call, so-called, of most missionaries to the mission field. Paul's burden for the work grew directly out of his experience of the power and of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, in this context, Paul's multiple references to the gospel. He starts off in verse 1 already talking about the gospel of God. And then later in verse 9, the gospel of his Son. And then, as we have been reading, preach the gospel to you at Rome. And then verse 16, the gospel of Christ. This gospel is constantly in his heart and it's constantly in his mind. Add to that that from the very first verse, he has started expounding the gospel. Now, he's going to do that in great detail as far as justification's concerned. But right from the very beginning, look at verse 2. And following, he's into the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have followed me through the opening studies, taking Paul's logic through the salutation and the introduction of this epistle, you'll find every step is leading up to verses 16 and 17 and everything that follows thereafter. Paul has been expounding the gospel, and he's been leading up to this statement, the gospel is not something I'm ashamed of, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this has been in Paul's heart. This is what is giving rise to this great statement, I'm ready to go and preach this gospel. Remember, he's just about to make the statement, I'm ready to go because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's deliberate understatement. What Paul meant by I'm not ashamed was more than that. Sure, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. But Paul was not only unashamed of the gospel, Paul gloried in the gospel. And that's what he means here. I glory in this gospel. So clearly what he's saying in our text tonight is that his glorying in the gospel is the ground and the reason for his burden to go and preach it. You see, Paul really knew the gospel. God, what a simple statement. I listened to preachers of years standing. I'm deliberately not going to name names because I'm not trying to criticize individuals. They're in my mind. I do have exact individuals in mind as I say this. Because to me they are an example of the point I'm making. These are not heretics. They're not evil men. They're not wicked men. They're not worldly men. A couple of them I have in mind at the moment are actually, as far as gifted preachers go, among the very best preachers in the world. But when I listen, as they go on, as they try to expound the gospel, becomes obvious. They don't really know it. Oh, they know enough to be saved. And they know enough to point others to the person of Christ. But when it gets to the things that Paul is dealing with in this epistle, they haven't really grasped it. Paul knew the gospel. Not only did he know the gospel, but Paul had experienced the power of the gospel. This is the man who on the Damascus road was unhorsed and knocked into the dust. This is the man who was instantaneously converted by a personal meeting with Jesus Christ. This is the man who then was not taught the gospel by men or from men. But if you remember our studies in the life of Paul, through 3 years in Arabia on a one-to-one basis in the school of Christ, in the greatest seminary any man ever studied in, he was taught directly by Jesus Christ himself. Oh, he knew the gospel. He had felt the power of the gospel. And as he was writing this, he was still feeling the power of the gospel. And there's the rub. You see, the greatest mistake you can make in the ministry or in the Christian life is to live in the power of a past experience. Well, let me rephrase that, because it's no longer power. Live in the shade of a past experience. where all you ever felt about the gospel is what you felt then. Paul was not like that. Oh, he could look back in the power of the gospel that he had experienced, but he was still living in the experience, the liberating experience, the joyous experience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was that experience of the gospel that welled up within Paul and gave him a passion for missions. That's where it came from. And that's very scriptural, that it should. You remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Could anything be clearer? How is a preacher to preach? Out of a textbook? Out of a book of theological theory? Is it the job of a preacher to come and regurgitate the dead letter of Greek or Hebrew syntax and rules of grammar? Is that the job of the preacher? No. All those things have their place. Don't misunderstand me, and you students for the ministry, don't think I'm giving you any easy way out. I'm not. They have their place. And if you're not willing to spend the long hours in your study to grapple with those things, then you're not fit to be a preacher. But that's not your job, to regurgitate those to the people. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth must speak. And the preacher who does not get alone with God and experience the gospel will have no burden to preach it and no burden to spread it. You remember when William Carey, the great Baptist missionary, the father of the modern missionary movement, when he first caught the fire of God in his soul to get the gospel out to the heathens of India, introduced it to a group of Orthodox Baptist preachers, the most Calvinistic, the most Orthodox, the most upright, the most separated, the most biblical men in the country. And what was the response? Young man, when God purposes to save the heathen, he will do it without your help. How could men who believe this book ever come to such a place? Very simply. Oh, they believed it all. But I cannot for a minute believe that the man who made such a statement was actually living in the abundant enjoyment of the gospel that he preached. I know that this was how the apostles felt. You remember in Acts 4 we read the words of Peter and the other apostles when they were under pressure to give over preaching the gospel. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't do anything else. The man who gets alone with this book and sees Christ in the gospel cannot help but speak of Christ. And I know that it was Paul's heart. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, "It is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And then he adds, "We also believe, and therefore speak." Can anything be clearer? Anytime churches or Christians lose the burden for missionary outreach, it is always because they have lost their vision of the gospel and their appreciation of the gospel. They are no longer living in its abundant enjoyment. Paul had a burden for missionary work that grew directly out of his experience of the glory and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.